Hello and welcome back to More Than a Hemline. This is Danielle Immerman, CMO here at The Reflective, and today I am joined by a very special guest, Gabby Grossman. Gabby, I'm just going to kick it right over to you. Who are you? Intro yourself.
Oh my God, hi. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Also, More Than the Hemline, is that what it's called?
More than a hemline.
More Than a Hemline. I call it. I'm Gabby Grossman, to be specific. I work at New York Magazine on the podcast team, and I am a Virgo. I'm from LA, live in New York, just celebrated 5 years in New York. I'm someone who loves a good buffalo chicken wrap. I love a long walk in Domino Park, and yeah, that's pretty much me.
I should have known you were a Virgo. I vibe so hard with Virgos. It's just the earth sign in me somewhere. I'm like, oh, yes, a fellow earth.
Yes, wait, what are you?
So I am a Sagittarius, but I have a lot of earth in me. Yeah, my Hebrew birthday is in, you know, Capricorn technically. So we just have both. Okay,
that is just opening up a whole new idea. Like to have your chart in your Hebrew birthday too. Okay, I'm gonna need a second co-star for that.
Yeah. I love co-star. Are we about to go off into a tangent? Because we totally should. So point blank alone, body image is a struggle for women around the world at every point in life. I remember for myself in middle school and high school, I wasn't modest. I wasn't, you know, following any kind of dress code outside of what my crazy school mandated. But that was a challenge, just coming to terms with like figuring out how to feel comfortable and confident in my body, and like grappling with that as a normal teenager does. So I'd love to understand like what your experience was like and how that kind of intersected with the modesty struggle at the same time.
Yeah, just like a journey to be comfortable in your own body is lifelong. And for me, it is very much, I am still on that journey. I actively wake up and try and choose progress every day on that journey. And it is so hard. It is, I think, in the pandemic, this is something that people struggled with a lot as they had more time than ever to sit at home and criticize themselves in their, you know, in the comforts of their own home for months on end. And my journey, you know, in high school and college, all that mattered to me was looking a certain way. And I wanted to get my body to look in my head like everyone else. And whether that was like working on, you know, eating in ways that were really restrictive and really difficult to me, or just spending a lot of time staring at other people's plates and staring at pictures of other people, wondering why I didn't look like that or didn't eat like that or whatever it was. Like, I spent a lot of time just wishing I was someone else. And I think one of the big pieces, you know, as a 31-year-old woman, like, I'm really, really thankful to be who I am. And how do you get there? You just gotta find things that you like about yourself and try and figure out what living authentically looks like and feels like for you. And for me, it's prioritizing the things that I'm passionate about. It's pursuing a career that matters to me. It's connecting with community and my friends and the people that I care about. And when I felt like my life was a reflection of who I was, I think that that's when things started to get a lot easier. And body image, like, I don't know anyone who feels like, I'm done. I did it. I have great self-image and we're there and I solved it and we figured out what body image looks like for me and like check. Like, and I think I spent a lot of my life waiting for that moment and hoping that that moment would come and that there would no longer be times where I struggled or looked myself in the mirror and just went, ugh. Like, and it's, the goal is just, if you have those moments, to know you're not alone, and also like to see them become less and less frequent, and also to counteract that with things that you really, really love about yourself, and moments where you can take stock in what you've accomplished and who you are. And like, I'm at this exact moment, I'm packing for a wedding. I'm going to Europe for the first time in a few years. Woo! I'm like, my best friend's getting married and my suitcase is on my bed, like half packed. But like, I'm so excited to wear all the things that I'm bringing. And I invested in clothes that make me feel good. And are they, you know, am I obsessed with the number on the dress in the way that I used to be? No. I just am buying clothing that fits me, that looks good on me, and that makes me feel like myself and makes me feel excited. And when you can focus on that instead of focusing on like, why is this a double digit number in my dress? Why is this a 6, a 16, a 26, whatever it means to you, whatever you've decided is too big for your body. Like, if we can all just find a way to remove the number on the dress from the value of it, like, that is step one, I think, is just being able, if you have a pair of jeans or a jean skirt in your closet that has been haunting you because it's a number that you find to be more appropriate or more exciting than the number of the clothes that fit you right now, what I want you to do is take those shorts or skirts or whatever they are and have a funeral for them and send them on their way to Beacon's Closet or Goodwill or wherever, because it's not serving you. And I think everyone, it was a really big thing in the 90s, you know, to be like, these are my aspirational jeans. Like, I'm going to eventually fit into these. And the psychology of that is so harmful. And like, it's so, so painful to try and squeeze yourself into clothes that don't fit you. And like, that's a value that I hold very, very dear, is whether wherever I am in my journey, whatever size I'm at, is allowing myself to invest in clothes that look good on me and that feel good on me and make me feel like myself. Like, point blank, that's the most important thing to me. And like, when I talk about dressing in a way that aligns with my values, like, that's something that I want to pass on, you know, to my friends, to my children eventually, that like, you are the right size, and you are the size that you are supposed to be right now. And this is where you're at on your journey, and that's okay, wherever that is. And you don't need to spend your life trying to be different. And the sooner we give ourselves permission to forgive ourselves for whatever it is we're just so miserable about, and say, I can be happy wherever I'm at, whether that means big or smaller, whatever it is, like, if we can just allow ourselves the grace to just be comfortable, think about how different. Think about like how different shopping would be. Think about how different the whole clothing economy would be.
I am obsessed with you. You have such a healthy philosophy. It's incredible to feel good and to look good and just to feel confident in the clothes that you have despite the size on it. Like, ignore the size. Like, that is such a key takeaway, because I for sure have clothes in my closet that, you know, I got at a sample sale. I was like, well, it doesn't fit perfectly now, but someday, like, you know, it'll probably be like good. It'll probably fit. Like, I'm hoping it'll fit. Yeah. Why am I still holding on to those pieces? It's not healthy. So I would love to explore how you developed that philosophy, your philosophy that you just gave over to us, because I'm sure in high school you didn't have this philosophy. I'm sure it was a struggle.
No, absolutely not. And like, I remember walking into Urban Outfitters and like trying, like, so many tears in dressing rooms, and like the feeling of, I have such clear memory of like being in the Nordstrom at the Westside Pavilion for all the LA girlies, and being in the dressing room and wearing the largest size in the store, and my mom and the salesperson are trying to help me zip the dress, and you're just hunched over, like trying to actively make yourself smaller and knowing there isn't a bigger size, and just being so unbelievably defeated and miserable and going home and just being like, wow, I am a failure. I am not who I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be smaller, and just wishing that I was smaller with every ounce of my being. And I will say that was, this memory is probably from around 2002. And in 20 years, we've gone a long way with sizing. And that's a huge, huge part of it. Like, I can't say that this is all just my personal journey. I think that clothing has evolved, and there is a long way to go. But like, now you can walk into a department store and see things bigger than a 12. And like, that's really, really great. And so many cool, trendy brands. Like, I'm obsessed with this brand, Ray, W-R-A-Y. They have, it's extra, extra small to 6X. Girlfriend Collective has a similar size range. Madewell's like really increased their sizing. Like, there's so, so much. And like, stores like Aritzia that, like, you know, a 12 is really an 8, and that's the biggest they have in store. Like, they're about to be left behind, in my opinion. Like, if you're not, like, you are leaving, if you're not creating clothing for every woman, then what are you doing? The average dress size in America, I think, is a 16 at this point. Like, you're leaving so much money on the table. And it's clothing, every clothing brand, every aspiring designer should be thinking about this. And like, there's, progress is slow, and it's not as fast, you know, in the like runway world, and in the like real high fashion designer world is not, like, Christian Siriano is probably the only one who's like very, very much doing this and living by this philosophy. I think that I can get into a whole tangent about fashion and exclusion and why that's appealing to designers and brands, and that it's very much intentional. But
I would really love to get into that conversation.
Like, yeah, there's so much to say. I have so much to say, but just to like punctuate that point, it's been an active lifelong journey, and I routinely go through my closet and try things on, and if they don't fit, I toss them. And I like, I'm due for a trip to Buffalo Exchange soon, actually. And like, I tried on, it happened to me, like, I had a coat that was like in a closet in like few winters, and then this winter it was like finally cold enough, like last winter it wasn't really, and I tried it on and I didn't like the way it fit, and like, it's gone, it's out of there, it's a coat. And like, the mantra that I try to repeat to myself is like, when I'm in a dressing room and the largest thing in the store doesn't fit me, and I say to myself, like, you're not wrong. This pair of pants is wrong. I'm not the problem. It's the pants. It's not me. They don't get to determine my self-worth. They don't get to determine how good my day is. They, like, why am I giving this $178 piece of pleather power over my life? Like, that's not how it works. I'm in charge here. I'm the one that gets to determine if today's a good day or a bad day, not these pants. And it's really helped me to frame it like that. Like, a piece of plastic or cotton or vintage Levi's, don't even get me started on vintage denim, like, they don't get to determine how good your day is or how successful you are. And there are many, many pieces of clothing out there, no matter what size you are, that will fit you, that will look amazing. And you have to prioritize finding them and taking care of yourself.
I have so many thoughts and questions. Okay, I need to channel, reel it in. Okay, reel it in, Danielle.
It's hard.
It's so hard. There's so much to say, because you touched on one hand how far the fashion industry has come in being size inclusive. I really hate the word plus size. Like, I just think it's nasty. So I'm gonna avoid using it.
I don't really like it either.
Yeah. It's offensive, I think, yeah, personally. Yeah. Like,
it's just like, who the heck cares?
Who the heck cares? Like, we are all meant to have different bodies. To label and differentiate people based on what size you are is just egregious to me. Sorry, I'm getting fired up because I think it's wrong.
And like any brand that has like a specific plus size collection, like, why do you think that this is going to determine how someone dresses? And like, it's just like, just make the same clothes. Everyone wants the same clothes. Like, because your size might be slightly bigger, like, you think that people now only want to wear like peplum tops and like egregious ruffles? Like, no.
I'm telling you, it's the same issue that plagues the modest market. There is a lot of overlap as far as what the pain points are. Like, there is no need to make different products. Yeah. You can have, the fashion industry can have the same standard no matter what products you need.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear your thoughts on this whole theory of exclusivity that you mentioned earlier, because I think it really is at play and I think it's toxic.
Yeah. Have you watched the Abercrombie documentary that's on Netflix right now?
So crazy. I think I have like 30 minutes left, but it was really interesting.
So highly recommend. And they talk in that documentary pretty candidly about how Abercrombie's philosophy in the 90s was, we want rich, white, thin people. And that is who we think are cool. And that is who we are advertising for. And there's a quote in that movie that's like, you know, in every school, there's cool kids. And that's who we're talking about. And it was honestly a little refreshing for me to hear point blank, because that is the philosophy of most high-end fashion. You know, maybe not the cool kids, maybe it's the cool adults, but they're advertising to a very specific sect of people who live very specific lifestyles. And there's a lot of assumption made in fashion that people who are likely white, very rich, and have very specific body types, like, that is what is cool and what is attractive. And in our society today, like, I don't really think that that's accurate. And at least in the people that I choose to live my life around and spend my time with, like, you do not have to look a certain way to be cool, to be fashionable, to be interesting, and to dress well. Like, you just don't. That's not the society we live in. And I think that fashion is intentionally very exclusionary. Like, there are brands that will do an extended sizes collection, and then maybe it didn't sell well for them because they didn't market it. Or maybe they try it for a season, say that they did it, and then don't advertise it at all, throw it on sale, and never do it again. Like, it's shocking, like, the amount of pushback and brands that say they don't want to. Like, yes, it's more expensive. Yes, your first season, you're probably going to lose money. But, like, there's a reason. The real reason that they're not going to say out loud is because they think the people who wear those clothes are not who they want buying and wearing their brand. And that's the part that's, like, that's why you're not going to see ever every brand. Like, there will always be exclusion, like, or maybe not ever, maybe I'll be an optimist, but, like, I think exclusivity is the reason that a Chanel bag now costs $8,500. You know, it's like, if everyone could have it, then it wouldn't be appealing. And that philosophy trickles down into a lot of fashion brands, and also brands that carry plus sizes that don't carry them in stores. They think that if they carry clothing for everyone in stores, then the stores will now look like less desirable to shop in, which is just so beyond messed up and cruel. And like, I don't even like to think about it, honestly, but that's the way fashion is. And like, I try to live my life a little bit as an act of rebellion, right? Like, as like, okay, you don't want me to shop here. Like, I'm going to buy something here, or I'm going to buy something somewhere else, and I'm going to make it look expensive. And you'll have wish you've sold me this because I look so cool in it. And like, I think that like, if supporting brands that might be a little bit more expensive that choose to align with my values, like that's how I try to spend my money and my energy now, you know? And like, it's hard. Like, there are so many brands that I like that, like, I also, like, personally kind of toe the line between straight sizes and plus sizes, so I can usually find something. But I try, when there's not sizes that are a little bit bigger than mine, I try to not buy. It's not always feasible, and I'm not perfect. And, like, you know, if things fit you and look great on you, buy them. But I try and give a good portion of my investments into brands that do support people who have sizes for all bodies, you know, not just the things that happen to fit me, because like, to me, it's an important act of community.
Outside of Ray, who are some of your other favorite brands?
There's a brand called Tamara Malice right now. That's really, really cool. And she's amazing and doing awesome things. Girlfriend Collective is like great for activewear and things like that. Everlane Denim goes up to a 35. I like their jeans. They can do better. Staud has an extended sizing line now. I think they can still do better, but like, I'm a big fan of Staud and love their accessories and love the clothes that I have from them. Reformation like can do better. There's room for improvement, but like for weddings, for like event wear, and just for like good, like, I wear a lot of Reformation. Who doesn't? But I wear a lot of Reformation. I'm trying to think what else I've been wearing recently. Vero Moda is, like, you can get it on ASOS. They're great. They have a really great plus size extension. Universal Standard is just, like, their philosophy is really cool, and they're great basics, great jeans. They had a Rodarte collab a few years ago, which was amazing. And whoa. I like have a dress that I wear to every wedding that's actually quite modest, that like, I hope they bring back and they do that collab again, because that was amazing. I'm like, who else? There's so many. Like, I just need to plug Ray again, because like, they kill it. Like, when I like have, that's like one of my first tabs. I like get something from them like every season. Like, I have this like gorgeous pink dress that I can't wait to wear, and they do those like checkered sets that you can find me in constantly. Clothing stuff. Ghani's like starting, and like, I'm such a Ghani girl. Like, their stuff is so cute and like very aligned with my style. So like, the things, like, they're working on it. I want to see them have larger sizes in store. I love their store in Williamsburg. Like, it's so cute, but like, they're like, even the woman working there. Tanya Taylor is like, can't plug enough. Like, love Tanya. There's like 5 dresses that I have my eye on right now from her. Sachin and Bobby for event dresses. But like, the things that I wear the most are probably like Tanya, Ray, and Reformation.
This is amazing. This was a rapid fire education in go-to brands.
Yes. I love it. Oh my God. I'm like, I'll like write you a list.
Yeah. Can you actually? Because yeah, that's absolutely very necessary. I love that. Well, okay. So you named a whole list of brands that are more or less doing it right when it comes to inclusivity, when it comes to sizing. What do you think the fashion industry needs to do in order to really meet the needs of a size inclusive market?
I think everybody needs to do more. Like, a brand like Ray is like one of the few brands that I'm like, you get it, this is your market. Like, you're, and like, there's obviously like minor improvements, but like a brand like Everlane, where it's like, okay, you get it, you know that this is a priority, that's why you upped your denim line, but like, all your regular clothing goes up to an XXL. Like, let's get that to like start having like 3-4, let's like keep it going. Every brand that's like halfway there has more to go and should be investing in that. And like, we'll see investments like that pay off. And the brands that are like, I think it's a little bit of a pipe dream to say that like every brand will carry these, because I just am a little bit skeptical that that is change that we will see fully. But I think brands that are thinking about it need to be speaking to actual plus size people, and we're talking to the community and like treating, like really figuring out what this issue is and not just making guesses of what they think people will like, because I think that's so much of a problem in the market, like what we were talking about the product not quite aligning. And I will say, like, Rent the Runway, so impressed with their collection and like how much they have for all different sizes. Like, it's really, really cool to see. Hutch is another brand that's has some great, great plus size dresses. And like, it's cool to see progress, but there is the biggest pain point, I think, still is like, you could spend a day, this woman, Emma Zach, who owns a vintage size inclusive store called Shop Berries, and is like one of my biggest inspirations, like in the like New York, like cool fashion scene. And she, on her birthday, was like, I went to Soho. She's like a size 16, 18. And she's like, I tried to find something and there was not a single store. Like, I had the money ready to be spent and there was not a single store where I tried something on that fit me that I liked. And like, that's just the biggest problem, because, and like, so many of the like traumatic memories that we all have are from crying in dressing rooms. Like, I eventually will write a whole book called Crying in Dressing Rooms. Like, it is such a universal experience. And like, when you're going through it, you really feel so alone. But like, in my adult life, I've talked to so many women who've experienced that across the size range. And I think every store, like, my dream is for every like 12-year-old girl shopping with her friends at the mall to be able to find things that she feels cute in. And every woman of every age, you know, that's my wish for women everywhere, is to be able to walk into a store, find something that feels like you, put it on, zip it up, pay for it, and walk out and feel like $1 million.
Amen. Gabi, like, that was beautiful.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would, and everyone, it would be amazing. That. Everyone. To cry in a dressing room, trust me, I've been there too. It's one of the worst feelings as a teenage girl. At any age, really, when you're going through all of the hormones and changes and just struggles of being a teenager, that on top of it is crippling. I've been there. I fluctuated with my weight my whole life, and it's, you know, I'm curious, when you were at that point, when you were crying in dressing rooms, what lifted you out of that?
You know, it's funny because, like, I did a whole podcast on The Cut talking about my personal experience, and I talk about a time where I had lost a ton of weight, and then I was still crying in dressing rooms at the thinnest I ever was in my life. And it's not just because of my size. It's because of how you feel about yourself. And I think it's really, really hard to crawl out of that. But I think just as much as we can do to remind ourselves that we deserve to be here, we belong here, we're beautiful women, and we're here dressing in a way that we try and make ourselves feel good through clothing, but sometimes clothes aren't going to be it. Sometimes clothes will just make you feel bad. So that's when you have to just throw on something that's all reliable, that you know fits you, whether it's, you know, something with an elastic waistband and a sweatshirt, and try and do something that you do like. Because just like sometimes relationships in your life are disappointing and you have to figure out something else to make you happy, or sometimes work is really hard so you have to lean on your friends more, like, there will always, on these like pillars of our life, they all have seasons, and some of those seasons are good and some of those seasons are bad. And you have to kind of lean on other things to pick you up. If you've spent a day in a dressing room where a pair of jeans didn't fit you, don't run to the treadmill. Don't do that. Don't spend the rest of your week ordering your salads with the dressing on the side. Like, if it's coming from a place of wanting to feel thin to wear the pair of pants that didn't fit you, that motivation will get you nowhere. And it will never make you feel good, and you are chasing something that does not exist. And that is not something that I learned until my late 20s. And like, that, do what you want. Live your life how you want. Exercise in ways that make you feel good. Eat in ways that make you feel good. But know that if you're choosing to spend your life focusing on the things that didn't work, on the pants that didn't fit you, on the job you didn't get, on the boy who didn't ask you out, you're not going to find yourself happy, and you're not going to find yourself fulfilled. You have to think about the things that do bring you joy and do make you feel good. And working out and moving your body, if the word working out isn't for you at the time, like, go for a walk and get an ice cream cone and sit by the water and you'll feel better. Like, go and just try and get out of this, like, I ate shitty, so I have to, or I didn't eat well this weekend and I ate junk food. Like, even that terminology I have problems with. Like, the cycle that we put ourselves through. And I think that things like having clothes not fit you really can send us into spirals and make us feel like this is the biggest problem in the world that I need to fix right now, and this is an emergency, that the size I was last year isn't where I'm at now. And the more we can do to just push through and try and just sit with that sadness for a second, if that's what serves you, but find something else to focus your time, money, and energy on, and you will be happier.
Let's say you're having an off day and you're trying something on, nothing's working. What do you do to bring joy into your life?
Leave that store. That's step one. That is step one. Don't buy yourself the lipstick at the counter to make yourself feel better. Don't go to the sale rack and pick out something. I have so, especially when I was younger, like, I think about the amount of things that I bought because the thing I wanted in the store didn't fit and I wanted to leave, you know, not, I didn't want to leave empty handed. So I bought some other thing, and then you never wear that. So don't do that. Don't do that. Leave, and then go. Maybe if you feel like shopping somewhere else, if you have a store that you know you like where things always fit you, maybe go there or buy something online, go on Instagram, see something else. But go have lunch with your friends, or like go play volleyball, or do what, like go to a class, go watch a movie, like go do something else and get your mind off clothes for a while, and then go into your closet and start digging through things that you don't like anymore, regardless of size. Like, I have so many like things that you're like, oh, it is not, this is not in style the way it was when I bought it. And toss that and start tossing out things that you don't like. Because on that like closet audit that you're doing, you'll find things that you forgot you have that you really like. And you'll also find things that it's time to move on from. But just get out of that store as fast as you can if you find yourself starting to get into that spiral. And life is, remember, it's not the pants that have, it's not you that have the problem. It's the pants.
The pants have the problem. I love that.
The problem is with, the problem lies with the pants, not with you.
The problem is the product.
The product is, therein lies the problem. The product.
Gabby, before I let you have the floor to just get it all out there, what would your advice be to someone who is really struggling to feel confident in their own skin?
So, I think that we all should have notes app, a note on your phone where it's just like, go off about the things that you love about yourself, about accomplishments that you have. And anytime you're feeling really good about yourself, you just got a promotion at work, someone noticed your hard work on something, you know, were really there to comfort a friend and you would tell that they really appreciated it. You showed up for your family in a way that was difficult for you. And as these things happen in your life, when you're feeling good, when you're feeling proud about yourself, keep that note in your phone and just update it. And then when you're feeling bad, you get to look at it. And it's such an easy thing to do. And when you're in a great mood, you know, put on some music and then just start by writing down 5 things so that you have that to look at, and then actively update it whenever you remember. And just like positive affirmation. And people, there's the culture of compliments in our society where when you give someone a compliment, what's the first thing they do? No, it's fine. Oh, I love your dress. Oh, it was on sale. It wasn't that expensive. It's not that great. Oh my God, I look so ugly. No. Oh my God, really? This? It was nothing. I didn't even try. We all downplay. Even when other people are trying to tell us, give us positive affirmation, we all can't even hear it. Like it just, it's like Teflon for us. And so when people give you compliments, and I'm not talking about random, like, your shirt looks good, or even that, if that's what makes you feel good. But, like, when someone gives you a genuine compliment, take it, internalize it, and take a second to feel good. Be like, you know what? Yeah, I worked really hard on this, and I deserve this praise, and feel worthy. Those are probably the two things that I recommend.
I love that so much, and I'm so guilty of downplay. I always, my default answer is like, oh, thanks, it was $5 at a thrift store. Like, okay.
Exactly. And it's like, so?
Right, it's like, I didn't ask for the price. Like, I'm just saying I like your shirt.
I just like it. It could be cute if it's $5 or
$500. Right. Do you have a mantra that you say, an affirmation? Is there one that's your go-to?
I'm like, the problem is in the dress, not in me. That is the classic.
I love, like, hello, Yoda. Like, give it to me.
Let's, like, a mantra. I just try to be, like, I just try to remind myself that, like, I'm okay. Like, you're fine. You're fine. Everything's fine. Like, just, like, reminding, which is a really lame mantra, just reminding myself that, like, I'm a person who brings joy into the world, and I can bring that joy to myself and to other people, and that I matter. And like, I hope that everyone can find that for themselves.
I mean, wow. Gabi, that was amazing. The floor is yours. Final thoughts, final feelings, anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm having so much fun talking to you. I just, like, fashion is hard. It's hard for everyone. Finding your style is hard. And when you have certain parameters, whether that be your size or the way you dress or modesty, like, it's hard for everyone. And I encourage everyone to push through that hard and find ways to look themselves, because it's worth it. And like, finding a style is a very fulfilling journey. And I'm just like, clothes are cool. Like, we're allowed to like them. Like, it's not a frivolous hobby. I think a lot of women are meant to feel like, oh, you're just going shopping again. But like, don't. It's valid. Shop in the way that makes you feel good. And ignore things that make you feel bad and live your best.
And the products are not the problem. No, products are the problem.
Are the problem. We're not
the problem. Products are the problem. Products are the problem. I love, I'm going to, this is my mantra now. Products are the problem. I love it. Gabi, if we have listeners who want to get in touch with you, what would be the best way?
Find me on Instagram @GabyGrossman, GabyGrossman. Or I produce an episode of the Cuts podcast called Into the Thick of It. I'll give you that if you want to just search the cut Into the Thick of It with two C's, that you can hear more from me and more to come.
I love it. This is not the last time we will be hearing from you, Gabby. I feel like there are many parts of this conversation that we didn't get to that we definitely need to explore. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Gabby, for joining us. And thank you to all of you listening. I hope you have an amazing day. And if you could leave us a review on the podcast player of your choice, that would be greatly appreciated so we can climb on up in those charts. If you have any questions, any thoughts, any feedback on this episode, please, please, please email me, Danielle@the-reflective.com, and we will be in touch. Thank you and have an amazing day.